This is Power Players with Dan Clark.
This is a podcast interview with University of Utah women's basketball superstar, Alyssa Pealey. Welcome to Power Players with Dan Clark. Former athlete, Hall of Fame speaker, New York Times bestselling author, and high-performance coach, where each week I bring you an inspiring message from an extraordinary human being who will share their secrets on how you can tap into your personal power to become everything you were born to be. Thanks for spending some time with me today. In this episode, University of Utah women's superstar basketball player Alyssa Pealey, who is a three-time Alaska Gatorade Player of the Year out of Diamond High School in Anchorage, a four-time Conference Player of the Year, and twice selected the National Female Athlete of the Year by Max Preps, who earned the Pride of Alaska Award from the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame, and get this, who holds the Alaska High School State scoring record with 2,614 career points, scoring 44 points in the Gator Classic Championship game with 36 points in the second half, who also played volleyball and competed in shot put and discus in her high school, finishing with 13 state titles to her name across all sports at Diamond High, gives us an inside glimpse into why she transferred from the University of Southern California to play her final season at our beloved University of Utah. When she was named Pac-12 Freshman of the Year and earned all Pac-12 team honors. Alyssa Pealey is an extraordinary athlete, maybe one of the finest who has ever come to the University of Utah. You don't want to miss this episode. This podcast episode is brought to you by Strong Automotive. Dear family, friends, Tay, and the rest of the gang who will provide for each of us listening in this podcast the greatest customer service, the greatest sales and sales support of any car dealer in the Intermountain West. Thank you so much for your tireless support of student athletes at the University of Utah. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You are a beautiful soul.
Thank you.
And I just absolutely honor your family, honor your parents, the daughter of Billy and Heather, eight siblings. Your brother Brandon plays football at USC. I mean, what a pedigree, what a family history and legacy that you carry on. So let's just cut right to the chase. What was it like growing up in your family? Where are you and the eight children?
I am the second oldest, the oldest daughter. And it was great. I had a great childhood. It was always fun. Never boring, even though sometimes we fight a lot. But, you know, that's all siblings. But, no, we have mad love for each other. And, you know, the support runs real deep. So,
were your parents athletes as well? Or were you a shock in their system going, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do with this superstar?
My dad played football in high school, didn't go to college or nothing like that. I think he just worked straight out of high school. And then my mom played volleyball in high school, went to college in Hawaii, but didn't play any sports. So, yeah, they only played in high school. That was the only experience they had.
Did they grow up in Alaska or in Hawaii or where?
My mom was born and raised in Barrow, Alaska. And then
Point Barrow?
Yep.
I have my two 12-foot-long pieces of baleen. I spoke at Barrow High School.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. It's at the headwaters of the Alaskan pipeline, just so you know how far north it is.
Yep. And then my dad was born and raised in Hawaii and moved to Alaska when he was around middle school. So.
Wow. So your mom left Barrow and went to Hawaii in search of love, and your dad left Hawaii and went to Alaska in search of love, and it all happened.
Yeah, so after, I think, a year of college, my mom moved back to Barrow, and my dad had moved there, too, for, I think, his job. And they would always be at the open gym, I think, for volleyball, so that's where they met.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
There's hope for all of us at the University of Utah. Hang out with Open Gym. Listen to what Pealey's telling us here. Okay, so your parents were very supportive.
Very.
Because when you perform at the highest level that you've performed at all through high school, that's a great sacrifice for family. Were they always at the games? Were they always taking you to practice before you could drive? I mean, to teach us a little bit more about the significance of family support.
Yeah, I mean, my dad, my mom, they're just my biggest supporters. You know, they've sacrificed a lot of time, money, and all that just to get me where I'm at today. And, you know, not just me, all my siblings, everybody plays sports. So, you know, we're always 10 people deep at their games.
Oh, wow.
Every game, you know, it's always busy, especially when me and my brother were still in high school. We would have events pretty much like every weekend, practices all week. And, you know, my parents just, they were just there for us. They pushed us. You know, it was a lot of tough love, but we knew they were just super genuine with us and, you know, wanted us to just to be great. So
are you close to Brandon?
Yes. Yeah, we're
Is
pretty
he
close.
Younger or older?
Older. He's 2 years
older.
So
you followed him to USC because he was there.
I did.
Unfair recruiting advantage. That's just not right.
Right.
That's not right. So what does he play on the USC football team?
He's a D lineman.
Very cool.
Yeah, this was his last season, though. So he actually was back home in Alaska for, I think, a week, and now he's in Florida training for the draft.
The combine. Good for him. So what influence did he have on you as a big brother at USC? I mean, again, he just took you under his wing and made sure that everything was good.
Yep. I mean, my dad kind of just raised us to look after each other all the time. So he's a good big brother. I couldn't have asked for more. He was always very protective. Very protective.
Maybe
you know,
too protective. I can see it in your eyes. You're like, yeah, he scared away way too many guys. I can just see it.
Yeah, it was funny because right when I got to USC, he gathered up all the freshmen on the football team, and he goes, my sister is coming here this summer, so I better not catch none of y'all trying to do nothing. But, yeah, man, he was always there for me at my games. You know, I could call him whenever I needed him to, you know, make a store run for me or get some food or something like that. So it was great.
So let's take you back to Diamond High School in Anchorage, one of the great high schools there. So you competed in track, obviously, in shot put and discus, and you also competed in volleyball.
Yep.
Did those sports help you become a better basketball player?
I think they did. I also did wrestling in high school.
Of course you did. But I didn't want to talk about your dating life here on the air, you know. That was a joke, girl. That was a girl.
Yeah, but
wrestling, good for you.
Yes, I did not like it, but it
the training.
Me. Yeah, it was crazy.
Intense training. I played basketball, baseball in high school. And I remember our basketball practices would start, and the wrestlers had already been running for an hour, and then we'd finish our basketball practice in 2 hours, and the wrestlers are still running. I'm like, I could never do that. So that's why you did it, maybe.
Yeah, it was by far the toughest sport I've ever done. So, yeah, I mean, track and field, like throwing shot put and discus, and then volleyball, I think they kind of like just helped me with different aspects of my athletic ability. Shot put,
discus and shot put. Did you do the twirl or did you do the whoo whoo wah?
For discus, I did spin, and then shot put was kind of just like a shuffle.
So the spin had to have helped your athleticism, your lateral movement, your defense.
Yep.
For basketball.
Yeah. I mean,
that's some pretty tricky footwork there on the
spin. Yeah. Yeah, it was tough. So, yeah, the footwork in that definitely helped me. And then for volleyball, I think just the jumping and, like, kind of the reaction time helped me a lot in my game, too.
Absolutely. So did you have a specific coach early on in your life that helped you with your agility drills? Did you go to specific camps as a girl growing up? Or how did you perfect your skills, because skill is a learned event. It's not natural. You know, we have some natural jumping ability, natural athleticism, but the level of skill that you bring to the basketball court, I watched you grow because I knew I was going to interview you. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, my dad, growing up, he didn't believe in camps or nothing like that. So, you know, my friends would always be going to these camps that were happening and ask me if I'm going. I would never go. So, honestly, I think just training outside of basketball, like football. When I played football, football drills, we would do like ladders and stuff like that.
They had a girls football team, or you played with the boys?
Oh no, I played with the boys. I played with my older brother.
Of course you did.
Yeah. When I was third grade, my brother always played, so I was always surrounded by it. And I just went up to my dad one day because I was always at their practices. So I just was like, Dad, I want to play too. And so he let me. He kind of talked to my mom like, I don't know if I should let her play. But he ended up letting me, and he was our coach too. He was coach, and then I had some uncles that were coaching like different divisions and all that. So, it was fun.
How many years did you play football?
Third through eighth grade.
Wow.
Yep. My dad was mad at me for not playing in high school.
So, in this day and age, so many coaches are telling parents, no, make your son specialize, only play one sport. I played football and baseball at the University of Utah. When I got hurt, my third game of my senior year in high school, I got hurt, and I worried about getting my scholarship offers that I'd been talked to about my junior year. But because I played basketball, the football recruiters could see that I could go left and right, and I had some leap in, whatever the case may be. So one sport actually helped me get a scholarship in a different sport. What recommendation would you give to parents with their children growing up? Do you think they should just isolate and do one thing, or should they allow them to play multiple sports because one sport strengthens a different set of muscles than another sport? And the mental toughness that you get from different sports obviously kind of spills over into each sport.
Yeah, I mean, like my personal experience playing a bunch of different sports, first of all, it's just fun. Like, you know, you don't got to just set your mind on one thing. You could try other things, and I think that's a big thing. Like nowadays people are just trying to, I don't know, be super strict on like what their kid does at a really young age. And I think it kind of messes with kids' heads sometimes. And I don't know. I don't think it's a good thing all the time. But playing multiple sports, like you said, it strengthens you as an all around athlete. And that's something I would suggest for sure.
So did you ever keep track of your leap, your vertical in seventh grade and then eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade? What did you do to increase your vertical? It seems like you got a pretty good vertical as I watched your game.
My dad actually makes fun of me because he says I can't jump.
That's funny.
So,
that's funny.
Yeah. I never really kept track of it. But it's something I've thought about, and, you know, being an undersized post in a conference like this where there's girls so much taller than me in my position, jumping would help me a lot. It would help my game a lot. And I think after this season, maybe like summer off season, that's something I would like to focus on and get better at. But yeah, I'm surprised you say that because
I said it because you're in the program. You come in at 6'2". Are you 6'2"? Because you play bigger than 6'2". You do.
I'm not even 5'11", to be honest.
Okay, so your program's just like mine was in high school. I was 6'3", 172 pounds. I was so skinny I had to jump around in the shower to get wet. And in the program, they had me at 6'4", 210, and all the coaches, the college coaches are looking at me like, man, I don't know what happened to those scales.
Yeah.
Nah, you look good. Come on. So how do you score 44 points if you can't jump? Come on.
I don't know.
Took them to the hoop? Were they all just three-pointers? Were they?
I think some of them were three-pointers, but
what's your best range? 15? You know, DeMar DeRozan, he's like the perfect guy in the NBA with the 15-foot jumper. Nobody's better than him at 12 to 15 feet. So do you specialize in a distance?
I would say I'm pretty good at shooting threes. My mid-range is, I would say, solid. But, most of my points are just coming from layups.
I love it. This podcast episode is brought to you by Strong Automotive, the award-winning automobile dealership, not just famous in Utah, but I have friends who have purchased cars from them from all over America, and they sing their praises. Strong Automotive should be your choice for your next automobile purchase. So before I get into a little bit more of the detail of the mindset, let's talk about your training. Or what teach us as fans, what do you do as a basketball player to play at the highest level? You've been an elite athlete since you were like in the seventh grade. So what do you do to make sure you maintain that mental toughness, that you say no to the negative influences of crazy friends and that you just stay focused on being an elite athlete? Teach us.
My mental toughness has just come about just of how I was raised and, you know, how my parents were. My dad is, he's a super tough guy, but he's also a softie. Like, he fools a lot of people, but, yeah, he was just super tough on us, super strict. Like, we weren't allowed to do a lot of things that other kids were doing. And, you know, I think that it sucked at the time, but as I got older, I just realized, like, I'm so grateful that he was that way, because I may have missed out on a lot of the temporary things, but, you know, like, I'm where I'm at now, I wouldn't trade it for the world. So, you know, that plays a big part into how I am mentally tough. And, you know, I've kind of just carried that over with me to college. And it's basketball is a tough sport, especially in college, women's basketball. So I think just being in that kind of environment just kind of built off of that mental toughness that I've already had. And then training, honestly think my first 3 years of college, I wasn't doing enough at all. And
just took your natural ability
for
granted.
Yeah, exactly.
You were all world in high school, and suddenly you just kind of showed up and said, hey, I'm all world.
Yeah, exactly.
I only bring that up, Alyssa, because so many athletes do that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Teach us, what would you do differently and emotionally slap those complacent athletes around right now who seem to just take themselves for granted? I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, coming into this year, I just had a whole different mindset, I think. It's a lot different from my freshman year. Obviously, my freshman year, I did pretty well. And, you know, I came in there just kind of like, I'm just ready to work. And the thing about that was just, I was just doing like pretty much the bare minimum, like you said, just relying kind of on my natural abilities.
And you still made freshman player of the year just on your natural abilities.
Yeah. So, and my dad tells me all the time not to take that for granted. And, He would say all the time, like, imagine how good you would be if you just went above and beyond that relying on your natural abilities. And, you know, that's something I really took to heart this past season. And I put in a lot of work in the off season, the summer. I came in here, came to Utah, sat down with my head coach, with my strength coach, and kind of just had, like, what my plans were for myself, what my goals were. And, you know, I talked with them about it. My fitness level, just being in shape to run up and down the court, being a bigger player, it's been tough. Like, I get tired pretty fast, and, you know, it affects my game when I'm tired. So that was something I wanted to come in here and focus on. And I knew Utah's style of play was pretty fast, so it was something I had to adjust to. And so the whole off season, I just met up with my strength coach. You know, she's my best friend. I was living in the weight room, so I was just doing extra conditioning, doing everything I could just to get my fitness level up there and ready for season. So.
Okay, so those of you who've never played basketball before, as the game goes on, most of the time when we miss the shots that we made in the first half, it's because our legs are tired.
Right.
We're not jumping. We're not doing what we need to do. And so let's talk about mental toughness. 3 seconds left in the game. Utah's behind by one. Arizona's ahead. Arizona was favored,
mm-hmm.
and you stepped to the line, and thank God it was on TV, because I challenge you to go and watch the video of them focusing in on your eyes. And anyone who's a basketball fan, anyone who's played at the highest levels as we have, can see it in an eye. We can see it in the eyes. You knew you were going to make both of those shots.
Yeah.
There was no doubt. And I wish we could pull up. Maybe that would be a fun experience. Call, you know, talk, go back to the coaches on Monday, and just say you want to have somebody help you dig up some film of somebody who misses their free throws. And you just comparison contrast what you look. You like, give me the ball. Mm-hmm. Bam, give me the ball. How can you teach us civilians to be that mentally tough, to be that confident, to be that focused, knowing that you have put in the time, there's no reason to worry, you're just going to drill and drop both free throws to win the game?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is, just the preparation and all that. Just it boosts your confidence. And I think in that moment, you know, I'm a really humble person, but, you know, in that moment I knew, I was like, yeah, I was made for this. Like,
oh yeah.
I was ready to make both. Like, some of my teammates were like, come on, Liz, you just need to make one. And I'm like, I looked at them, I was like, no, I'm making both of these. What are you talking about? I'm winning this game. But, you know, that's just the competitor in me. And, you know, just how badly I wanted to win that game. You know, I was put in that position, and I knew I just had to come out with the win. I couldn't lose.
So that's really interesting you put it like that, because we always try to celebrate heroes. And in your humility, what you're teaching us is that, no, you were ready for that moment. You weren't a hero. You did what you were supposed to do.
Exactly.
You didn't do something you weren't supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You just stepped up and did what you had prepared yourself to do. Give me the frickin' ball. Get right out of the way. That's amazing. So how many hours a day do you work out?
As a team. Oh,
And then I'm going to say anything extra as an individual.
Okay. As a team, we lift for about 30 minutes. Sometimes she'd be going over, but about 30 minutes, and then we'll have practice for around 2 hours. So that will, and then our film sessions and stuff would be about 30 minutes.
Okay. So individually, what else do you put in as far as extra time above and beyond what your teammates are putting in?
Now the season has started. Before this, I was going in 3 times a week, but now the season started and, you know, things are going. I've met with my strength coach 2x a week, just for maybe an hour, a little over an hour, doing just some speed drills or just conditioning, extra conditioning. And after practice every day, I stay and make 25 free throws in a row.
See?
Yeah, exactly. Everybody knew. Because I'm there after practice every day, you know, shooting my free throws, because they're super important, as you can tell.
Especially when
game.
You're an undersized post.
Yep.
That's how you get your 44 points. Take it to the hoop, and get somebody to foul you, and then drill them, drop every shot.
Yeah.
So you remind me of Kobe Bryant. I hope that's a compliment.
Oh, it is.
Because one of the great interviews, and I've watched many, one of the great interviews with Kobe was, Kobe, you had teammates open. Why didn't you pass to him as you were driving? You know, it was 3-on-1. Why didn't you pass instead of taking it to the hoop? And he goes, why should I pass to somebody who doesn't work as hard as I do? He said, why should I pass to somebody who's not paying the price that I am?
Yeah.
And he's the one that throws Shaq under the bus and says Shaq could have been the greatest center who ever played, but he was lazy. You know, if he had to put in the same amount of work that Kobe did, you know, I think Shaq's awesome too, but Kobe had that mindset, that work ethic. And I, as a speaker, I always tell the story that when he was drafted as a 19-year-old on draft night, every other player who was in his draft class was out partying, celebrating that they were drafted, and he was in the gym. And afterwards they said, why? And he said, my goal wasn't to get drafted. My goal is to be the best basketball player in the NBA.
Right.
That's why I think you're like Kobe. You have that same mindset.
Dude, I strive to be. I don't know if I compare it to him, but.
No, you are. The work ethic obviously paid off on the foul line.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. Okay, so let's ask. I'm such a Ute fan. You know, I cut and dry. I bleed red. And I got recruited pretty heavily coming out of high school, and I always dreamed of playing at the University of Utah. So you put in 3 years, you're freshman player of the year, you're all Pac-12, you got this amazing pedigree at USC, and you decide you're going to come to Utah the last year. Teach us why. Make sure it's a great sales pitch for recruiting.
Well, first off, we got a new coaching staff last year at USC. So I think things were just kind of falling apart, and, you know, it wasn't the best season. Like, I'm thankful for the experience because it's led me to where I am today and, you know, kind of shaped me. But, it just wasn't my fit. It wasn't the right fit for me. So I just I decided to make that jump, and it was scary because I've been there for 3 years. You know, it's like home to me, and you know, I knew in the back of my mind that if I wanted to become the player that I can be, then I needed to just find a new environment to where I could really grow and aspire to my goals. So I think the University of Utah was exactly that, and you know, I have great coaches. I'm surrounded by, you know, not only the coaches, but just extended staff that just care so much about every athlete at the University of Utah, and just outside of sports, like they'll help you with anything. Oh, yeah. So it's a cool thing to see. And, you know, I love it so far.
This episode is brought to you by Strong Automotive, family owned, treating our student athletes at the University of Utah as if they're their own.
So has your family visited for games?
They actually came. The only time they've been over here is for my brother's game when they played Utah.
That's wrong.
But they'll be here after. They'll be here when we play USC and UCLA.
Of course. That's good. So I just want to make sure that they feel of our love and our hospitality as well. So you know they will. We'll just reach out to your family.
Thank you.
So from an NIL perspective, let's start talking some money. So if you had your dream car, what would your car be? Wait. I can't ask you that because we have a sponsorship. What you need to say is you would love Strong Automotive car, whatever kind of a car they could give you for free. That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Taylor Strong, aren't you glad I caught that one in case you said something crazy? But let's talk food. What's your favorite food, and have you found a favorite restaurant since you've been here?
Yes. So I mean, growing up, I always ate, like, just Polynesian food, so it's mostly just, like, meat, rice, and things of that sort. But being out here, I can't tell you how many times I've eaten pho. It's the Vietnamese. Yes, it is so good. Like, that's probably my go-to meal. Like, before game days, yeah, I'm always at one of the pho restaurants over here, and it's really good.
So NIL folks out there, she needs free food. And how about clothing? I love the way you look. That's kind of your brand. I mean, if you could hook up with some clothing company to give you some free threads, what would it be?
I was always a big Nike person, I feel like. But I had just recently, or last year, got a deal from Champion.
I noticed.
Yeah, and they, I think that brand is, it's different. But it's like, I feel like they're on the come up. They're kind of like a low-key type of brand, but I like a lot of their clothing.
So as you grow, they grow, and, you know, Champion breeds Champion. I like it. Okay, so how do we get a hold of you? What's your social media handle? How do we support you? How do we follow you?
All my social medias, I think, are the same. It's just my first and last name together, Alyssa Peely.
Alyssa Peely.
Yep. Yep.
Very cool. And last question. Everybody wants to know, do you have a pregame ritual? In other words, Michael Phelps, I always use him as an example. Michael Phelps, before he dove into the pool to break another Olympic and world record, he always had his headphones on, listen to rock and roll, or listen to rap, listen to some R&B. Do you have a favorite music? What's your pregame ritual as far as food and as far as getting your mind ready to battle?
Whenever I listen to music, like, I don't listen to music all the time, but when I do, I listen to, it's gonna sound kind of weird, but like island music and like kind of just music to make me relax a little bit just in the moment. And then
I love it.
Yeah. But other than
that, maybe it's a little over the rainbow, it's just to kind of chill out, get ready for those two free throws to win the game. That's funny.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, something I do before every game is I don't put my jersey on right away. I just lay it down on the chair until we do starting lineups, and then I'll put it on. So that's something I've always done since
my freshman. It's a ritual, kind of a superstition. And why?
I don't know. Well, I do know that I just hated warming up with my jersey on because it was just always so, like, I don't know, just so, like, tight on me. I wanted to warm up just kind of loose. So I would never put my jersey on because it would just be too much layers.
I like it.
But, yeah, ever since then, I come out, put my jersey on the chair, lay it there, and then when it's time for starting lineups, I'll put it on.
I love it. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Alyssa Pili, P-I-L-I. Follow her on social media. And let's generate some NIL for this young lady. Unbelievable family that we need to love and support and welcome every time they come into the Intermountain West. And look for this woman, not just on the basketball court, but her reputation is that she's one of the great examples on our college campus. You always have that million-dollar smile going and always encouraging her teammates to be the best that they can be because of her example, pushing herself. So if you're serious about becoming a power player, figuring out how to take yourself to the highest level possible and push yourself to your ultimate capacity and potential as a human being, I challenge you to come to a University of Utah women's basketball game. Splurge for some great seats so you can see her eyes when the game is on the line. Alyssa steps up and says, "Give me the ball. I've paid the price. I've worked way too hard to miss this shot." We honor you, my friend. We love you. Welcome to the University of Utah. I'm so glad you're here to see us.
Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on the Power Players podcast do not necessarily reflect those of KUTV or Sinclair Broadcast Group.